if we say we are in a judgment-free zone. At least that's what we will say at Destiny Life Church. Are we saying there's no standard against sin? Not at all. That's what we're going to talk about today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. And today, dealing with a judgment-free zone, I think is going to help us all. If you have not subscribed, take a moment and press that little button and also like the video or pass it out and let's get the scriptures out. Today, we're going to be in verse 9 of Romans 14 down through the end of the chapter in verse 23. A lot to cover. Let's jump into it right now. Paul says, verse 9, "For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Paul's writing that Christ is the judge of the living and the dead, meaning the believer and the unbeliever. The dead are those who are dead in their spirit, and those who are alive unto Christ. Because he says in the next verse, "But concerning your brother, why do you judge your brother?" Now this word judge, we're going to talk about it today in the context, because we often hear the world using it against the church. Oh, you can't judge me. We're not supposed to judge. And that is true, but it's got to be put in context. The Word has judged us already of what's right and wrong concerning sin. There are areas such as our motives. There's areas that we cannot judge someone, can't even judge our own heart as being innocent, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, even if my own heart says I'm innocent, doesn't mean that I'm free from that sin. Only the Lord judges. So when it comes to the motives, and if we look down on someone disapprovingly upon them because we observe or hear something that is not clearly in the Word, or we decide that this conviction of ours should be their conviction, and we place it upon them when the Bible doesn't make it that clear. Anything that the Word is clear on, right and wrong, transgression against the law of God, that's already clearly stated. That's not what we're talking about. Here, Paul is referencing, as you know from our earlier teaching, what day of the week do we worship? Do we eat this meat that's been offered to idols or not? So how do we do these things? Well, jump in here and let's continue. Verse 12, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." In other words, let God be God. Let God deal with those people. You're going to stand before the Lord. You're going to have to give an account yourself. So live your life before the Lord. "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this." Let's stop it. Let's get it wrapped up. "Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way." There are liberties that you have in Christ that may not be a liberty that God will allow you to have, because it could cause your brother to stumble. You see, earlier we're told we don't live unto ourselves and we don't die to ourselves. When you come into the body of Christ, you have an obligation to others. Some people go, "I don't care what people think. I'm just going to live how I want to live." That's not the Christian way. That's not a heart of compassion. That's not understanding that you are in the body of Christ. Verse 14, "I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself." In other words, he's saying that meat that's offered to idols, it doesn't matter. Those idols are not real. It's not unclean in itself. "But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean." Honor his conscience. Even if his conscience is wrong and is erring him in the wrong way, he's still bound by it. Don't push yourself into that area. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to him in these matters. Verse 15, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one to whom Christ died. It's not worth it. It says, however, if you've got the freedom to eat that meat that was offered to idols, because you don't really think there's anything to those idols, and you have faith to do that because you're confident in the Lord, but your brother has a different conviction, he's saying, don't even bother to eat the meat. What? That's going to cost me. He needs to straighten up. He says, then you're not walking in love. He said, you're not really doing what you're called to do. Man, it's like the scripture wants us to be aware that we're not lone rangers and independent and isolated. We belong to the body. Verse 16, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Good meaning your faith and confidence in the Lord. Don't let it be spoken of. There's a lot of things that I don't do because of this reason. I would have freedom to do it, liberty to do it. Now, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about things that's in our conscience. I remember growing up, it was a lot of things that had been imposed in the church world. Guys couldn't wear shorts. Women couldn't do this. Men couldn't wear sleeveless shirts. I mean, all of those things. And so out of consideration for others, when you got the liberty, then don't just flaunt it. Live it as unto the Lord yourself. I'll show you how Paul talks about that as we go through this. For he says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. I mean, it's not about one's right or wrong as far as what you eat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Don't cause the conflict. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. That's righteousness, peace, and joy. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which one may edify another. So let's do what strengthens others. Don't consider yourself the most important. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with an offense. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with eating that food or that meat, but he said for the one who does so out of his wrong conviction, it's sin for him. It is good neither to eat meat nor to drink wine nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. In our last teaching, I referenced wine because that's a good example. You can't show in the scriptures that drinking wine is wrong. Now, drunkenness, you can. And I've seen Christians that had the liberty to drink would get drunk and deny their drunkenness. Well, God's going to have to deal with them in that. But in my own case, because we work with people and disciple people living here in the Bible Belt, I wouldn't touch it at all. I don't want someone to come into my home, which we have people in our home, open my refrigerator, see a case of beer or a case of wine up in the cabinet or something and say, hey, Glenn thinks it's okay. Because whatever I do in moderation, they're going to do in excess. And you say, well, it shouldn't matter what people think. No, that's what Paul's spending the whole chapter here saying it does matter. Be sensitive, not because I'm afraid of what people think about me. I'm concerned about them. Because I've seen where people coming out of alcoholism that we're working with, they can't even touch wine for communion out of their own conscience. Why would I impose that upon them? Somebody else, they don't have a problem with it. We have to be careful how we live this out. Because he says in verse 22, do you have faith? Is it okay for you? Well, have it to yourself before God. I know people don't like that. I know that those who have liberty to drink wine want to impose it upon other people. Can I tell you something? If you go out to dinner and you have a liberty to drink wine, don't have wine unless you know that that other person has the same conscience as you do. You say, I'm going to ask them. Don't ask them. If you don't know them well enough to ask, just don't go there. Don't put them in that awkward place. You say, I can do what I want to. Yeah, you can, but not walk in love at the same time. And that's what Paul is saying. Then have your faith to yourself. He's not saying go off here and don't share your faith with Christ. He's talking about your faith and your confidence in what you have freedom to do. Have it to yourself. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So enjoy that. Don't condemn yourself, but please be sensitive to others. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. So if you persuade someone by your liberties, you can cause them to sin. He says, it's not my responsibility. No, Paul says that we are responsible for one another because he does not eat from faith, but whatever is not from faith is sin. Man, it is important that we be mature in our faith, walking out responsibilities to others. One of the things I like about that chapter, it calls for maturity in the saints. It says you're not an island to yourself. You don't live to yourself. You don't die to yourself. But you have a responsibility to those whom Christ has placed around you and to whom you're connected. Well, hey, let's grow up and be mature from what we're hearing today in the Word.